Luke 15, verse number 11. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. That's the way it always goes, you know. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into these fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When the devil's done with you, he just puts you by the wayside. Don't care, right? And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this our brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, guide us, speak to us this morning, Father. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Brethren, all of you here, I want to preach to you this morning a little bit on a thought of what does it matter? What does it matter? What does it matter? This faithful elder brother, it seems, felt like that. Why does it all matter? Why? What have I benefited from staying faithful and doing right? Seriously. It seems that his attitude is, why has it mattered? I didn't run off and hook up with a bunch of whores. I've not been drinking and partying. I've tried to stay around here and do the right thing. And lo, he comes back. And first thing daddy does is kill a fatty calf, put a ring on his finger, robe, shoes on his feet. Man, they're having a big time. I just don't get it. Now, it seems his attitude is, why does it even matter? Why does it matter? Well, just a couple things, a minute, just 1 second. One of the reasons it mattered was he had unbroken fellowship with his father and family. He had unbroken fellowship with his father and with his family. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. First John 1, look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, that older brother, by doing right, had unbroken fellowship with his family. He had unbroken fellowship with his daddy. Brethren, listen here. And we'll get on to this in more or less a little bit. But why does it matter? Why does it matter? To keep an unbroken fellowship with your family, with the saints of God, with the Lord. I'll tell you why else it mattered. He had a good name and reputation. That younger brother is going to have to build it back now. That elder brother, he ain't got to build nothing back. He's kept it. Go to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That young man had stayed faithful around the house, and you know what? He had a good reputation. That younger brother is back. He's humbled down, but nobody in the community is going to know that for a while. They're not going to figure that thing out for a while. He's got to build back up trustworthiness. He's got to build back up people having confidence in him. That older brother, he's never lost it. That boy's got a good standing. Any store he goes into, anything he does, he's trusted. He's kept that good name up. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm not saying that younger brother can't build it back up, but that's what he's going to do. He's going to have to build it back up. People, there are consequences to sin. Amen. You can't just live any way you want and expect there not to be consequences. Let me tell you something. If you have to earn people's trust back, that's on you. Amen. You cause that. Amen. Nobody's being bad. Nobody's being... You, listen, brother, it needs to be understood. If I've gone out and done wrong, and yet someone else has stayed faithful and right, I can't expect to have right off the same benefit. I've got to build that trust back up. That's just understood. Look here, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. This younger brother's been faithful. Now listen, let me tell you what else also real quick. He had a full inheritance. Look what his father told him. All I have is thine. Do you realize that younger brother, though he's back, and he's forgiven, and he's everything's back in, he has no inheritance. What do you mean? What did he tell his father? Give me the portions of good that falleth to me. Okay, here it is. He's gone. And he understands that, no doubt, and he knows that. Well, come on, preacher. You know that daddy. What? That daddy what? It always works out. No, it don't. No, it don't. No, it don't. He had his. It's gone. Glory to God, he's back. He's back and he's back in. And it's going to, but that elder brother stayed faithful. What did his daddy tell him? All I have is thine. Son, it's all yours. Because he did stay faithful. He did hang in there. 2 John. Go to 2 John. You better get out of your head that notion that I can live any way I want and it'll all just be fine and no consequences. No, I'll still make out. Listen, you come to Christ, you get saved. You get some things made right. But there is benefit and blessing to staying by the stuff.
Amen. Yes, sir.
There's this. 2 John 1, look at verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a what? A full reward. A full reward. Listen to me. Have you possibly ever asked yourself? Now come on. As you go around today, does it not seem, if you are in this room and you are born again and trying to live for God according to that book, yet what do we constantly run into? Everybody and their brother is saved, seem to have a cemented, they won't let it go. They're saved, they're born again. But brethren, it seems that the Lord has a different set of rules for them than he has for you. It seems they can live ways and dress, talk, and be in ways that God just won't let you do. But yet they seem to talk so much of full of joy and everything wonderful. And it's like, listen, if you're not careful, the thought can hit your head. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Now you listen to me this morning. Why keep being obedient? Why dress right, talk right, and do right? Why do so when others claim salvation and can live footloose and fancy free? Isn't the main thing being saved? That's all that matters, isn't it? No. No. That is not what it's all about. What do you mean? Souls are what it's all about. No, it's not. No, sir. No, sir. Let me tell you something. Dear sir, dear ma'am. The Lord is first.
Yes, sir.
not souls. A lot of people think as long as I'm concerned about souls and trying to win souls, I can still live the way I want. You know what I'm saying? I can see, I don't have to tighten up my life. I don't have to be responsible like I'm supposed to be because I'm trying to win souls. Somebody messed your thinking up, bud. Look here. Listen to me just a minute. People say, well, what does it matter? I mean, because they're saved. I mean, isn't that all that matters? Isn't that all that matters? That is man's way of looking at it. That's not God's way of looking at it. Now, you hear me out again. Listen to me. People, that's their attitude. Isn't the main thing being saved? Isn't that all that matters? No, sir. That is not the main thing. That is not all that matters. Preacher, what are you saying? The main thing is God. The main thing is God. All that matters is Him. The main thing is to know Him and love Him fully and completely. The main thing is not simply you getting saved. The main thing is you getting saved so that you can start giving pleasure to God and fulfilling the very reason you were created for. No, sir. The main thing is not, it is not all about you. It is not all about me. It is not all about some heavenly plan just to get you out of hell so you can live any way you want. No, sir. The whole thing is about God. About God saving you so that you can be reconciled to Him and fulfill the very purpose you were created for. Yes, it matters. Yes, it matters. It does matter. Unless you feel... See, that's a humanistic mindset, not a God-centered mindset that says, well, I mean, isn't the main thing that matters getting saved? Well, what is salvation about, dear sir? What is salvation about, dear ma'am? Do you even know? Salvation is about you turning from yourself and your sin and turning to God, being made a new creature, forgiven, so that you can now live for God. And this stuff that thinking salvation is just me saying some kind of prayer or doing something so I can slip out of hell and sooner or later I guess I'll think about doing right. No, sir. No, sir. That's not it. And that's the reason what happens is we've got people coming up and you look around and you're trying to do right. You hope you're trying to live for the Lord and everybody you run into, can live just as... And I know when you first get saved, I know you got to grow. I understand that. But you know what I'm talking about. Over and over, it's just like footloose, fancy free, talk anyway, dress anyway, live anyway, do anything. Because you know, the main thing is being saved. The main thing is God. And you get saved so that you can be reconciled to God and now know Him and live for Him and fulfill the very purpose you were created for. It ain't about, listen, this thing ain't about, listen, this thing ain't about you or me and everything hindering around us and, oh, the Lord, just, He's so, I'm the treasure. Let me tell you something. I got the treasure, not God. I got the treasure. God didn't get no treasure when He got me. I got the treasure. And salvation is to all of us. Yes, for God so loved the world. Yes, He deals with us individually. Yes, He cares with us. But you need to understand why He gave His Son. To redeem us, to purchase us, to bring us to Himself so that we would be and could be a holy people consecrated unto Him. Yes, it matters. Yes, it matters. And if you're not careful, it can get to where you think, what does it matter? Go down the road. Everybody and their brother's saved.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody and their brother's saved. Everybody and their brother's, and I'm not saying that all of them aren't. I'm not. I'm just saying, here, maybe you feel I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to fight the battles. I'm trying to do this and other. And it seems like just footloose and fancy free. I'm saved and man, everything's good. And yet you feel like sometimes the battles you're fighting and you want to try to do right. And sometimes it can be like, what does it matter? Because they're saved too. Number one, you don't know if they are or not.
That's right.
Number two, if they are, that still doesn't excuse what's wrong according to that book. It matters. God does not just go like, okay, you miss hell now, and if you want to live for me someday, fine, everything. But now, the big, it's not about you. It's not about me. God saves me to bring me to himself so that I can now glorify him. Him. It's not about me, 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 me. It's not about the Lord saving me so that, Jonathan Doss, you can have this wonderful life that you want to have now. No, sir. It's about glorifying and honoring him. And you better get your thinking straight. I'm serious. Yes, it matters. Take your Bible, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Open your Bible. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you know the very reason you were made for? You, the very reason you are drawing breath right now, the reason you are walking, the very reason you are in this world is so that you can give pleasure to God. Sin ruins that. Sin separates you and I from God. Christ came to die for us so that we could be forgiven and brought back to God to fulfill the purpose we were created for. That's what it's about. Do you realize if you don't know Jesus Christ, you have no reason to live? Preacher, you can't say that. People will kill themselves. Well, they shouldn't. That's sinful. It's wrong. They shouldn't do that. They don't have a right to do it. But what do you want to do? Tell you, you mean lie to you? Tell you you've got a purpose? You can make a difference? You can make a dent in this life? You can do something that matters? No, you can't. Not outside Jesus Christ. Amen. What? What's your purpose outside of Jesus Christ? What's your purpose? You know what you're living for? You're living for cheap tricks every day, little things to stimulate you that the devil does so we can get you later on in life, get about middle age, you look back and realize, what does it matter? And the devil says, nothing, man. Put it up there and pull the trigger. I'm serious. Well, I'm going to take and make a lasting, someday I'm going to get involved in government and I'm really going to, it's all going to perish by fire one day. It's all going to be burned up. It's all going to go by the wayside. Lord's going to make new heavens and new earth. What are you doing? What's going to go? Come on, man. Let them name a street after you. Then they name it after somebody else. Let them build a monument. They'll forget about it. Come on. Okay. Don't answer it out loud because I don't just, but you understand what I'm saying. But look here. So who won the World Series last year? I don't know. And I don't know. But think about it. Think about it. Look at the hoopla. Look here, you take the Stupid Bowl that took place in January. Who won it? I mean, some of you may know. I have not a clue. I have not a clue. But look at all the hoopla. Look at things around it. It doesn't matter. It's a big, fat goose egg zero. You understand? What matters is knowing God, being reconciled to Him, through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf, and so you can now know God, live for Him, and fulfill the purpose you were made for. Brethren, God didn't save me just like, oh, Jonathan Doss, I'm going to pull you out of hell. And I really hope you'll live for me. I really hope you'll live for me and do right. Where did you get that from?
That's right.
He is the Lord. And He saves me to bring me to Himself. And He says, look, now I've saved you to bring you to myself so that you could walk with me and have a relationship with me. And I expect you to be holy in manner of life. And I know you're newly hatched out and I'm going to bring you along and I'm going to grow you, but I expect you to grow. I expect you to make progress. You understand? Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 8. Well, I don't agree with you. Go away. Your problem's not with me. Show me by the scriptures different. Yes, it matters. And you better get out of your mind the attitude, well, I mean, all that matters is being saved. That's centered on you. That is centered on you. That is not what matters. What matters is God. What matters is being saved so I can honor God now and live for Him and be pleasing to Him.
Amen.
Can I ask you something? Do you think you're supposed to get saved and not please God?
Right.
What does being saved mean? If you think, it's all centered about you, the main thing is me not going to hell. No, sir. The main thing is you knowing God and being pleasing to Him. Do you think so? The Lord, it's supposed to be about you getting saved. And so again, I ask you, so you can live unpleasing to God? What are you thinking? And does not that book tell us how to live pleasing to Him? Does not the Lord say, New Testament, be ye holy for I am holy? It matters. Dear sir, dear ma'am, dear young person, it does matter. It may not matter to everybody else. It matters God.
Amen.
Listen, take your Bible, Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Don't you see? Until you're born again, you can't please God. The Lord saves you. You're now in the Spirit, and you now can live so that you can please God. The potential is now in you through the new birth that you can please God. That's what He saves you for. Look here. You want to know why it matters? I'll tell you why it matters. I've been saying it already, but number one, because of God. It matters because of God. Why I'm not myself out? Why everybody and their brother, they're saved on the way to heaven? At least they say they are. Only God and them know. Only God really knows. But they're saved, you know, and they love the Lord, and they're all, and they don't have to do this or that and the other. Why does it matter? It matters because of God. It matters because it's not centered around you and I simply getting saved. It's about you and I getting saved to live for Him.
Amen.
It matters because of God. He's holy, and what matters, listen, what matters to Him is supposed to matter to us.
Amen.
You say you know Him. Do you know what matters to Him? Do you care? Well, how are you supposed to know? Your Bible. Your Bible. Oh, I know God. He saved me. I know the Lord. And you won't even read your Bible? You can't even know how to please Him. I'm saved. I won't come to church. I won't pray. I won't read my Bible. Something's wrong. Something's bad wrong. How can you? God saved you to be pleasing to Him. How can you know what's pleasing to Him without His Word? How can you know that? How can you know that? See, once again, well, so-and-so, they're saved. They're saved, and they don't have to do this, and they don't have to do. What does your Bible say? Would anybody dare stand up and argue the point with me that God did not save us to be pleasing to Him and to walk in ways well pleasing to Him? Come on, that's common sense. So we ought to know what's pleasing to God and then obey that. Where do we find that? Preaching, teaching His Word, prayer, church, above all, the Word of God. How can you say the Lord dwells in you and you want to live pleasing to God and not get that God wants His people to be a holy, separate, distinct people?
Yes, sir.
You can't get around that. I mean, how hard you try. Look here. What's supposed to matter to God is supposed, what matters to God is supposed to matter to us. Listen, we are supposed to go on and grow and mature. Okay? There's a baby. We just had a little Ricky up here. There's a baby. Rick, I've got this thing all wrong, son. I've got this thing all wrong. You know what? I've got this thing all wrong. Because you know what? There's little Ricky. Little Ricky is alive and born, is he not?
Yes.
Sure, he's there. He's alive and born. Rick, that's all matters. That's all that matters. Ricky's alive. Don't teach him anything. Shoot, son, don't feed him. He's born. He made it. He's born. Don't teach him anything. Don't teach him how to write. Don't teach him how to walk. Don't teach him how to do anything. Don't teach him anything. You know, don't teach him ways that you'd like him to be. It don't matter. He's here. Well, that's silly. No kidding. That's foolish, preacher. You're right. It is, isn't it? It's just as foolish spiritually as it is physically. There's a baby. Why take time with him? He's here. He's alive. Isn't that enough? That's all that matters, right? That's all that matters. He's alive. Well, come on, huh? I'm saved. That's all matters, right? It's all about me.
No, it's not.
The baby's alive. That's all matters, right? Well, no, you've got to what? You've got to teach them, and you've got to discipline them, and you've got to help them grow, and you've got to close a lot of things involved. No kidding.
No kidding. And it's the same thing spiritually. Listen to me. Birth is just the start.
Yes, sir.
Birth, the new birth, getting saved just now, that allows you to be able to walk pleasing to God.
Amen.
To be able to be holy in this life and walk as you ought. The potential's there now by the new birth. And God expects you to go on. It matters. Yeah, it matters. Go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may, what? Grow thereby. So it matters because of God. Why else does it matter? It matters because of right. Because, brethren, right is right and wrong is wrong. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Go to Exodus 23. Well, I know what you mean. Well, look here. Say what you want. Smile about it. The world can say it's okay. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Laying with somebody you're not married to is fornication and it's wrong.
Amen.
And you can go to a church that possibly won't ever address the subject, won't ever say anything about it, will tiptoe and duck and dodge it. But I love you and I'm going to tell you, if you're involved in it, it's sin, it's wrong.
That's right.
And if you name the name of Jesus Christ, my. I mean, God's word says saints can do such things, but I'll tell you what. There should be some reckoning and chastening. There should be something going on. Listen, it's sin. It's right. It matters because wrong is wrong and right is right. And that's just well, there's to it. Look here, Exodus 23, verse number 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shall thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment. You know what? You better be careful about following the crowd. The crowd might be, and usually is, wrong.
Yes,
sir. Everybody else does it. Do you realize the number of people that will stand before the Lord as they get ready to go to the lake of fire? And as individuals. And it is not going to matter that everybody else did it.
That's right.
It is not going to matter at that point. What about you? What about you and your personal accountability to God? You may get by with that sum in this life. Well, everybody else does it. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make it right. And the Bible warns you about following a multitude to do evil. Well, everybody else? Everybody else is probably on their way to hell because Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many they be which go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And Christ Jesus is that narrow way. Most people end up on their way to the lake of fire. It's sad. You don't want it to be. God don't want that to happen. The Bible says it's not the will of the Lord that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God don't want that. But that's what happens because men go their own way. You go follow the crowd, you better be careful. Doesn't matter if everybody else does it. It doesn't make it right. Take your Bible. Take your Bible very quickly, please, and go to Ecclesiastes 8. Ecclesiastes 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes 8. But
it's just the way it is.
It's not the way with God. It's like you better disabuse yourself of the notion. You know, some people in the school are like, hey, if the whole class does it, if the whole class does wrong, they're not going to kick us all out. Man, you need some of those old-time principles that would do something like this. Well, I'll just fail the whole senior class then.
Yes, sir.
You can't do that. Watch me or fire me.
That's right.
But see, look, but even if man caves in, and says, well, you know, even if man does, God will never do it. God won't do it. God won't do it. You better be careful. But it doesn't matter if everybody else does. It doesn't matter if every else professing Christian does. Let me ask you something. Does character mean anything to you? Character means that you plant your feet And when you are persuaded that something's right, with a right and humble attitude, you stand firm no matter what. Somebody that goes with the crowd or just goes along, you have no backbone. You have no backbone. You just bend with the wind and however things are going. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. Character means, you know what? I know this is right. And it may cost me. Why do you think we sing the hymns, "Though it may cost me much tribulation"? Why do you think we sing hymns about friends forsaking me? Why? Because those things happen. And you live for the Lord and it will cost you sometimes. Yes, there's going to be family members that won't like you. That's okay. You love them anyway and just pray for them. There will be friends. There will be people that don't like you. But this should not be a surprise. The Bible told you. Well, I just don't think it. I don't want that kind of life. Okay. It's your choice. But there'll be eternity. There'll be eternity that you wish you had. How many people are in hell right now? Wishing so bad. They could do something about it. They can't. Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking. Do you realize right now if he could get out of hell? He now knows there, and there's not a thing that can be done about it. It's too late. Listen. Take your Bible. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Preacher, what does that verse mean? That means that, look, just because God doesn't do something right off doesn't mean he's letting it getting away with it. Here's what happens. Somebody does wrong, they're like, Nothing happened. Guess it's okay. Guess it didn't matter. What matters? God saw it. Where did God ever tell you he was going to deal with it right that moment? That's God's business when he deals with it. But deal with it, he will. If you know you've done wrong, but nothing's happened, that ought to scare you because he chastens his own. But if you know you've done wrong, you need to get with God and make that thing made right. Did you know in the Bible there was a man named Reuben? And he went and laid with one of his daddy's wives. His daddy had a concubine, one of his wives. And Reuben, his oldest son, lay with Bilhah, one of his daddy's wives. The Bible says his daddy heard about it. But didn't do anything about it at the moment. On Jacob's deathbed, as he is getting ready to part this life, he said, Reuben, you're my firstborn. Reuben, it should have all been yours, but you went up to my bed, son. You defiled my couch. You're unstable as water, Reuben, and you're not going to get it. And he lost the inheritance. What should have been his, according to Chronicles, went to Joseph. That affected his whole tribe's line down through the years. That affected everybody. Look here. There's a reckoning day.
Yes, sir.
There is a reckoning day. Look here, Ecclesiastes 8. Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Why does it matter? It matters because of God. Why does it matter? It matters because of right. Why does it matter? Because of judgment. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Who liked getting called into the principal's office? Not me.
Yes,
shoot. Even when you knew you hadn't done wrong. You know what you do when you call the principal's office? You walk in that whole way up going, what? You start checking. Man, that blue light goes off behind you. Woo, woo, woo. And you're like, well, I don't think. You start checking. Anytime authority calls you in, boss calls you in, you're like, you know what? I don't think most of us, management wants to see you. I dare say most of us aren't going, I wonder what they're getting ready to give me. Employee of the month! If you are, you are a strange bird. Because I'm telling you, most of us are going like this. Lord, if I did it, it was an accident. Lord, I don't think anything. And you are examining, man. You are going through. Because we know, man, we're coming in front of authority. And we know how we are. And we know how frail we are. We can mess. We know, right? And so you're checking. Why does it matter? It matters because of judgment. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I'm talking about if you're saved, you're going to stand before the Lord to give an account of what you've done since you've been saved. And the Lord's going to pull no punches. If you're lost, you have to stand before the great white throne judgment. And God will give you your day in court. But you know what the verdict's going to be. But you'll still get your day in court. But you won't have anything to answer. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. It matters because of judgment. Why does it matter? Man, this person, this church, man, they can dress anyway, talk anyway, act anyway, look at anything, and they're all saved. And what does it matter? First of all, you don't know that they're all saved. Second of all, it does matter. It does matter. It matters because of God and what's important to God. It matters because of right. It matters because of judgment one day. It matters. It matters. You may get that thought in your mind. What does it matter? It matters. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body than present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. It matters. Go to Romans 14. If you're here, and that thought has come in your mind or has come out of your lips, what does it matter? The main thing's being saved, isn't it? Well, look here. I hope you at least leave this morning knowing how wrong and how much an error that attitude is. Somebody's talked to the preacher. No. No. Not at all. But I'll bet you, nobody at all, but I bet you that thought or those words have come out of some mouths here or come in some thoughts. What does it matter? Or you've heard somebody say it. What does it matter, man? The main thing is just being saved, right? No, sir. That's a humanistic, man-centered outlook.
That's right.
The main thing is God.
Yes,
and getting saved so that you can please Him. Pleasing to Him, not ourselves. Romans 8, Romans 14, real quick. Verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, and why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Amen.
Brethren, it matters because we must give account to God. You know what your pastor wants for you? I'll tell you why. Your pastor here tries to say the things he says and do the things he does because I know that you and I are going to give an account to God one day, and I want to listen, I want to help get you ready for eternity by giving you the gospel so you can be saved. I want to get you ready for approaching, for facing the Lord at judgment and help you to live a holy life so that it doesn't have to be as bad as it can be when you appear before the Lord. Take your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Amen, about time for the praise band, ain't it? Shoot, man, it's Easter. I come to praise Jesus. The Bible says worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
You understand me? In the beauty of holiness. Let's get the praise band. Let's get a little rock and roll, pretend like it's Christian. No, sir, son. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. If you don't like it, if you don't like it, And you say, well, you know, that just I don't like that. Okay, you don't like it. But let me tell you something. Your problem is not with me. Your problem is with holiness,
mm-hmm.
and your issues with yourself.
Amen.
Look here. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish. Paul, what do you wish? What do you wish for those brethren? Even your perfection. And as your pastor, that's my desire for me and for you. spiritual perfection, growth in the things of God, maturity in the things of the Lord. Take your Bible, go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 27. Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why, Paul? Why do you preach and teach it? Why do you do this? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that word perfect in the dictionary has to do with maturity and growth and finishing out. Salvation is simply the start, folks. That's the beginning. Salvation gives you the potential to live that holy life and grow unto maturity. It gives you the potential to go on, if you will. And brethren, that's what a pastor is supposed to try to help you to do, to get to that, by self and yourself. A couple more scriptures. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. I mean, ain't it good to look at the scriptures? That way you can't look and say, well, that's just what the preacher said. No, that's what the Bible said. 1 John 2, verse 28. 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Amen. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. I want you to so live that you don't have to be ashamed. Amen. When Jesus comes. Come on, folks. There's some places and some things that you wouldn't like to be found doing or at when Jesus comes. I want to help you to that end. Seriously, that's what John's talking about. So you're not ashamed. Brethren, it's a good feeling, huh? If the boss or somebody comes in and you're maybe a little nervous, but you're like, as much as I know, I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of. I've tried to cover. But brethren, I'm telling you something. When you know, like, this is going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. You just let that breath out like. You ever got caught like that in something? Whether it's school, and as growing up in the house or on the job. And you know what? When you're playing around and not doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's all fun, ain't it? Until you realize, oh no, they're going to be here in 15 minutes. All the time, get away from me. Or you realize, man, the boss or that inspection team's coming. And you realize it's like, oh, no. And you're scurrying and hurrying around, but you can't make up that quick. And it's like, oh, it's going to be good. And I don't think, usually I don't think it's a matter of that you're going like, yeah, but it was worth it. No, it wasn't worth it. Man comes in and says, oh, it's like, okay, you're going to be pulling 12-hour shifts now for at least a month or two. We get this thing to, and it's like, oh, man. Well, just imagine that as far as eternal consequences. Look here, real quick. Go to Ecclesiastes 11. It matters, people. It matters. It matters. Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse number 9. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Preacher, I think I've just found my life verse. Man, let me quote that thing down. I like that. Man, that's good. That's my philosophy. Well, the verse isn't finished. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. You know what this world wants to do? The devil in this world wants to keep you in a childlike state of youth rather than having you grow on and mature the way you ought to be. That's why everything, products and everything are designed to make you feel that you're younger or more vibrant than you are. Man, there's billions to be made on making you so you can look younger or feel younger than facing the truth about where it is. Because you know what? The Bible puts the emphasis on age and maturity. Don't be ashamed of that hoary head. Don't be ashamed of that gray hair the Lord gives you. The Bible says it's a crown of honor if it be found in the way of righteousness. We let the world dictate to us. The Bible says childhood and youth is what? Vanity. But how many people do you know that feel like, man, after high school, I was a cheerleader.
Man, I could have been. I was a football. I could have been. Yeah, right. Everybody's got a story. Or how many people feel like, man, my teenage years or my college years. Yeah, you know why? Somebody else was footing the bill and you had all that money to party and do what you want. You had no responsibility. That ain't life.
Right.
That'll prepare you for life. Let me tell you something. Childhood and youth are vanity. The Lord wants you to grow on and mature and be what He'd have you to be. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't go back for nothing.
Right.
You say, those weren't the best years of their life? No. Man, what are you talking about? It gets better and better in the Lord.
Right.
Huh?
Amen, brother.
Man, I married her and that was so wonderful and good, but it's got so much better through the years.
Right. Yes, sir.
Huh? Come on, go back. No. Gets better in the Lord.
Yeah.
Outside of Him, you know what you'll be doing? You'll be wishing.
Yeah.
You'll be trying to regain something you thought you had and you'll never get it.
Right.
You'll never get it. Man, you can buy you the car, the clothes, the whatever. You can do whatever you want. You will never get it back. And if you could, you'll find out it wasn't like you remembered it. The Bible says that the children of Israel remembered the leeks, the onions, and the garlics. They remembered the spicy stuff. They forgot the bondage and the hard rigor. The devil always reminds you of what seemed like fun. He don't remind you those times you thought about killing yourself. He don't remind you those times you were miserable. He don't remind you those times that you were making everybody else's life. He don't remind you of that. Childhood and youth are vanity, the Bible says. Lord wants you to get saved and go on. Go ahead. Try to keep up with this world and its advertisements. You ain't going to get it. You ain't going to meet it. You know that model on that billboard? It ain't you. It'll never be you.
Right.
Oh! Stop it. I tell you what your mama should have told you and your daddy should have told you. Quit shooting for that. It ain't you. It never will be you.
Right.
And the truth that you can have is something better.
Amen.
Got a surprise for you. It ain't the one on the billboard. It took hours to get them that way. It's smoke and mirrors and tricks with other things. You have something God gives you, it's sweet and good and gets better and better.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. There sits Sister Betty Hubbard. And if you know anything about her, that poor sister went through a mess in her life.
Yep.
She went through a mess. And you know something? Here she is saved in Jesus Christ, and the Lord has given her some of her best and sweetest years toward the latter end of her life. God's good.
Amen.
God's good. Look here, but only in Him. Only in Him. Go to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It matters. Listen, if you're here and you are saved, I want to give you just a couple more things, two more things of why it matters. Go to Isaiah 66. It matters. Well, preacher, what does it matter? I mean, man, there are churches and they don't make a big stink about the King James Bible or how you dress or how you talk or what you do. And I mean, you know, they're saved. Once again, it's about God.
Right.
It's not about you. Salvation's not the main thing. The main thing is God. And the main thing is you getting saved in order to please and live holy to God. To be pleasing to Him. Isaiah 66, verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. You know what? No doubt this morning, what the world calls Easter Sunday morning, which is not, we won't get into that right now. But you know what they do? This morning, no doubt all across this land, praise bands were rocking it out, man. No doubt, man, no doubt. And churches across, man, praise bands were rocking it out this morning. And they were lifting up and they were praising the Lord. They don't know where the Word of God is. They got an NIV. They got an ESV. They got this or that. And you can come as you are. Come as you are. I know you do come to Christ as you are. You don't clean up. Christ saves you. But what I'm saying is they're like, man, as far as to save people, it don't matter. It don't matter. We're just all, you know, just all come together. Look at this. Your brethren that hated you said, let the Lord be glorified. You know what they'll tell you? When you start making an issue of the Bible, when you start making an issue of dress, when you start making an issue of things, you know what they'll say? Now, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Let's praise the Lord. Well, God is to be praised, but you know how? The Bible says worship Him, the beauty of what? Holiness.
Right.
Do you know how to be holy? What does that have to do with? His Word tells us. They said, let the Lord be glorified, but He shall appear to your joy.
and they shall be ashamed. There's a reckoning day coming, brethren. It matters. And finally, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Now, I don't know. I don't know anybody's circumstances in here. Or they might be listening on tape. I don't. And I've been preaching mainly to folks that are saved this morning. But I want to tell you something. Look here. If you're here or listening on recording, you're not saved. And you get ready to say, I don't like that. Now, I almost feel dirty. Well, I'll be. If during the rest of this week you've been cussing, drinking, smoking some weed, listen, shacking up, fornicating, watching things you ought not, you ought to feel dirty. Because you are. And so am I outside of Jesus Christ. Outside of the cleansing blood of the Lamb of God, I'm as filthy as can be. And so are you. The difference is I admitted it and accepting cleansing in Christ. You feel bad about yourself? You ought to. Goodness gracious. You ought to feel bad doing things that ain't right. You ought to feel dirty. You ought to feel unclean. You ought to feel nasty. You ought to feel ashamed. You ought to hang your head because you are. But God's made a way for you to be reconciled to Himself and be cleansed and made whole. If you've got sense enough to repent of your sins and trust what Christ did and turn to Him. Unless you're ashamed to or embarrassed to or whatever. But He wasn't ashamed to die for you. 1 Samuel 17 verse 29. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And you know the answer. There was indeed a cause. There is a cause, brethren. There is a cause. It does matter. There's a cause to living right. If you're saved, you can't get saved by living right. You live right because you now are saved. And you know why you do? Because there's a cause. It does matter. It matters because of God. It matters because of right. It matters because of judgment ahead. It matters. So if you ever get that feeling like, what does it matter? It matters. It matters to God. It matters because it's right. It matters because there's judgment ahead. Because the main thing, well, ain't the main thing just getting saved? No, sir. The main thing is God. And the main thing is getting saved so you can live pleasing to God. Are you trying to? Do you desire to? If you're here this morning and God, by His Spirit, is speaking to your heart, showing you you need to be saved, and revealing Christ to you, I pray you would say yes to Jesus Christ. Speak to Him. Tell Him. Nobody needs to pray for you. If He's dealing with you, you know what needs to be done. Come to Him. Call upon Him. If you believe His blood has made full payment for your sin, tell Him so, and tell Him that you accept what He has done on your behalf. And if you're saved, and you've been letting yourself get discouraged, I hope you'll get recharged with things and realize it does matter. And at least try to have a heart to live for the Lord and be pleasing to Him as you ought to do and He saved us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Father, any way that I got in the way, I apologize for and forgive me. Father, if any way that I got in the way, but oh Father, bless every word spoken. Lord, we know every word quoted from Scriptures, right? And Father, I pray that every comment made, dear God, would be in accordance with Your will. Father, please have Your way and Your will this morning. Father, if there's anybody here on tape that's not saved, Father, by Your Spirit, please draw them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus in truth, I pray. And Father, help any saint, dear God, who's been discouraged or Lord, been listening to the lies of the enemy to get their thinking back straight and realize it does matter. And Lord, You are what matters. You are all that matters. Lord, You are first and foremost, and help us, Lord, to see that and know that and get our thinking, Lord, away from this thought that it all centers on us. It's about You, Lord, and help us to know that and recognize that and submit to that. Have Your way and will, Father. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed a moment, your eyes closed. As she comes and plays, just want to give you a chance to chew on and meditate on what you've heard this morning. And if the Lord's dealt with you about some matter, you should do some business with the Lord. I came to Jesus Christ just as I was. I didn't try to clean up. I couldn't. But I admitted what I was and accepted what He had done for me in Jesus Christ. And He took the blood of His Son and washed me and cleansed me and made me whole, forgave me, and came to live inside of me and made me a new creature. And He can, will, and desires to do that for you. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you from all sin. And make you complete and acceptable before God. Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried and He rose again the third day, paying the full payment for your sin so that you could be forgiven and restored to God and now fulfill the purpose God created you for. It's not simply about Jesus is not simply your fire escape from hell. Yes, He delivers us from hell and sin, death, but He saves you for a purpose and a reason, to bring you to God the Father so you can have a relationship with God, to know Him and Him know you, and you can now live for Him and be pleasing to Him if that's what you want. But if all you want is just say a quick prayer and punch my ticket to get out of hell, You're fooling yourself. Nobody wants you to miss hell more than the Lord. But in part of that, He wants to bring you to Himself so that you can know Him, live for Him, and honor Him, give pleasure to Him. If you're saved this morning, and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, being saved all matters. No, you are so, so dreadfully wrong. Somebody's messed your thinking up, or you've allowed your thinking to be messed up. That's not what you find from the Scriptures. He called us to be a holy people, to glorify Him. That should be our desire if we know Him. If there's anything that is amiss in your life, if the Lord's reaching out to you this morning, I pray you'd reach back out to Him, do business with Him, with whatever the need may be in your heart and life. If you've ever been to the foot of the cross, if you've ever been to the Lamb of God, well, that little truck I took this morning, it had to go back to go forward. Maybe you need to go back to some things and get resituated. Some things you've forgotten, you need to get back to. I just ask you, if the Lord has dealt with you about some matter, please, please, you reach out and deal with Him. She's just going to play one more stanza, and I'm finished. I just want to give you an opportunity to meditate. Think on some things.